let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. You love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom Chavarim. That's Hebrew for blessed be the name of the Lord, and peace to our friends out there, including my grandchildren, Hunter and Mallory. Hello. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on 1220 AM, Christian Radio, and the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your pen and your Bible and some paper, get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on eschatology, the study of the end days. And you can listen again, same program, right at shofarministries.net. Listen on the internet. Isn't that cool? Well, let's start today's program as we do every program, and thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity. Thank you, Father in Heaven, for the opportunity to teach your Word, proclaim your Word, proclaim your salvation over the airwaves. We thank you for all our listeners. We also want to lift up the listeners who send us a prayer request, and especially for those that have requested for help with their memories, something that we're seeing a lot of. We don't know why, but Lord, that you would help us with all of us with our memories, especially your great Holy Spirit help when it comes to memorizing Scripture and remembering where verses are. That's very important, and we just ask you, and we know, we trust in you for our healing and for the grace that you supply us every day and all the good things that you give to us every day. And in your name, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we say amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. I want to remind our listeners that they can feel free to email me at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net with any end-time question that you might have. Or you can call and leave a detailed message to my office phone, and that number is 440-834-9006. 834-9006.
834-9006.
And if you want to be included on my newsletter list, you can call that same number, or you can email me with your address. I will send a paper copy if you do not have the internet.
Yes, and again, I want to remind you, Sheila will again be speaking at Chester Christian Center. Now, we had a great time last time. That's at 11815. That's 11815, I guess, Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306. Call us if you need to know how to get there. It's the first Friday of every month. This one will be September 2nd, Friday, 7 p.m. And we will be there. Yours truly will be leading the Messianic worship in song and dance. Bring your tambourines. Leave your troubles at the doorstop and come, and let's all enter into God's joyful presence.
That's right. If you're not happy, you will be when you
come. Yes, that's right.
Come. We had, again, like you said, John, a really great turnout last time. People seem to be a little more hungry lately for the deeper truths, especially on the end times.
And it's kind of the way you teach. I like the fact that you show them how you come to your conclusions or your opinions, whatever you want to call it. It's how you arrive at what you teach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess that's part of the teaching gift that
right.
God gave you, that you can show people, this is how I arrived at this conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I like to do.
So we're just not saying, hey, this is how it is, and then...
Right.
Right.
Because that shouldn't just be what I think. It should be the conclusion. And I'd like to show you how I got to that conclusion.
That's right.
So I try. In most cases, I can't always, but most cases. But anyway, I know you want to talk about the news.
Oh, yes. You know how much I love the news.
I'm going to try to not talk about as much news because people say you give a lot of news. But I do have to just mention Syria. This is a very big story right now, and especially because of the scripture that we have in Isaiah 17:1, where God says that Damascus will be destroyed. Okay, that's never happened. So maybe we're getting close to that time. But I read yesterday where NATO and the United States are getting prepared to stop the many Syrian people that are being slaughtered every day. However, President Assad showed the Turkish foreign minister, which, by the way, is on Syria's border, who came to speak with Bashar Assad last week, but Assad showed him intelligence materials with documents and photos as evidence that these rebels fighting his regime were actually Islamic extremists and members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And if Turkey wanted to stop, you know, Syria from doing anything, that they would eventually move on to Turkey.
To Turkey, that's where they're headed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, he obviously convinced them because Turkey then said, okay, well, let's give you a little bit more time to subdue these forces. And the last I heard was that they were giving Assad till the 27th to establish calm.
Mm. Turkey is giving them that?
Turkey's part of NATO.
Oh,
and
NATO's giving them that. Okay.
Yeah, along with the United States.
Okay. How come we don't hear about this in the news? How come, see, when I watch the news, I don't hear this.
I tell you, I have to dig deep for this.
Okay.
This is a lot of hours on, you know.
But it's something that you've suspected. We've suspected all along that the Arab Spring was just
we've been reporting on it.
Yes.
Yes.
And we've been
Muslim
ahead of the game. We were reporting that Egypt would be controlled by Muslim Brotherhood. They're well on their way to doing that.
Yeah.
And of course, back when we were saying
country
that,
to country.
Back when we were doing that, they were saying, you're nuts. This is Arab Spring. This is about people and freedom. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Okay.
Sorry,
no, it's just going to throw that in there. But,
right. Well, as like you said, we've been talking about this. The Muslim Brotherhood wants all the Middle East, and Obama not only knows it, but is actually helping it. I believe he has his own agenda.
That's chilling.
As you know. In my opinion, he is a plant from the elite rich men of the earth that Revelation 6 talks about. I think Obama is allowing Saudi Arabia to think he's on their side because Saudi Arabia would love to run the Middle East also. Kissing the king's ring a couple years ago, remember
that's
that?
Right. Remember that.
That was a big sign.
But you think that's not what he's doing? He's not pledging his allegiance to them.
I think he wants them to think so,
mm-hmm.
but really his allegiance is much higher than that. It's the rich men of the earth. I really believe that because I believe that the rich men of the earth have been really behind the scenes for a long time.
Okay. Where does the conspiracy
I know you were going to say that, and I really try to avoid that, okay?
Okay, I know.
It's just, you know, when there's so many facts on the table and then you see things.
Well, we know money talks and it rules the world.
Well, of course. And it's part of the plan.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
But have you ever been perplexed as to why we don't drill for oil here? Come on, I know the subject's come up.
Well, you know I have. I'm perplexed about that every day.
Yeah. Well, it's because the Arab countries are buying our debts.
Oh. You mean they're buying our debt?
They are buying our debt in T-bills, treasury bills. And we need them to buy our debt. If we drill for our own oil, they won't need their oil, and then they won't buy our debt.
Oh.
It's part of a deal. You know, in the 70s during the Carter administration, good old Secretary of State at that time, which just happened to be, do you know his name?
Oh, I think it was Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
He's been alive since the, never mind.
He went to all the Arab countries and said that we would continue to produce and would actually increase oil production in their countries and then buy the oil at the price that we decide to pay based on the economy. We decide those prices. They don't, believe it or not.
What? Not surprised.
If they would take some of the money and buy our debt in what we call T-bills.
Okay.
Then somewhere down the road, many years later, maybe even up to 50, we would buy back that debt in either today's prices or in a new world currency.
So this sounds like some, you know, smoke room smoke-filled room deal, you know, back behind closed doors deal. Is that
absolutely.
What you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Here? Okay.
And again, Kissinger is part of the rich men. He's part of the Rockefellers, Brzezinski, Haas, and, oh my gosh, Soros. There's quite a few. But did you know that in the start of the back in the start of the 1900s, really, Arab countries had no money to produce oil.
No.
They were still riding camels. And so we helped them. We came in, and especially in the 70s, our major oil companies, again, maybe only five, Chevron, Texaco, ARCO, whatever those major ones were at that time, Standard Oil.
Standard Oil.
You know. Sure. But anyway, they separated the Arab countries and each took one and poured money into oil drilling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, they said, if you buy our debt and T-bills, blah, blah, blah. So all the Arab countries accepted that except two.
I bet I know which ones they are, too.
Which?
Iraq and Iran.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Soon,
mm-hmm.
How do we say, to get even, somehow Iran just began having all these troubles. Insurrections and rebellions, the government was overthrown, the mullahs took over, and they've had problems ever since. Paybacks.
Yeah.
And Iran is still trying to get even, actually, because of it. And Iran hates us, and I think that's part of the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I believe this is the real reason that we had to get Saddam out of Iraq.
Hmm.
It's oil.
It's oil.
Plain and simple.
Yes, we've been saying that for years, and I guess there's a good reason to believe that. Now, you can go to the, listeners, you can go to the recent archives for more information on the Muslim Brotherhood, both on radio and in the newsletters. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's change topics a little bit. What's coming up at the end of this month, John?
All my bills are due. the end of this month will usher in the season we call Teshuvah, which is a season of repentance. It means to return or repent. We've said on other programs this year that our calendar is following the Jewish calendar this year. And so pretty close. We'll be starting the month of Elul. We'll begin on August 31st on our calendar, and you can expect at this time of year, and it happens every year, from you get warning signs from God. He often waits till this season, and it always falls right in October or September, and he uses it as a wake-up call to the people. We're supposed to repent. You know, Teshuvah means to repent. It also means to answer. It means an answer. God's expecting an answer for the question, what will you do with my son?
Yeah.
You know,
and we give a perfect example in the last newsletter that I did, Haggai. It was during the season of Teshuvah when he was asked about building the temple.
That's right.
Yeah.
And God expects that answer. So.
And it has been a Jewish belief, especially prior to the Dark Ages. You know what happened during the Dark Ages. Truths, Jewish and Christian, were lost.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Jewish belief that the resurrection would take place on the anniversary of the creation of man.
Okay.
So the month before, they would thoroughly examine themselves for sin and unforgiveness so as not to miss the resurrection when it comes in, of course, the fullness of time.
And the month before, of course, is Elul. Right?
Elul, exactly. And the month of the creation of man is Tishrei.
Tishrei, and that's the month right after Elul.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to keep it all straight here.
That's right, and these are Hebrew months, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But since the resurrection of today's believers, us, means our transition into heaven if you're still alive,
mm-hmm.
think of Elul as the final month just before your wedding, when things can get a little hairy, and you have an idea of how Elul can be of those final days of preparation just before your wedding.
Yep, that's right. And women that are married, you married girls out there, you'll know, you know, how hectic it is that month before the marriage.
That's right.
We know because our men have to listen to it. Well, history does show us that history does, not, you know, it's just not a biblical thing, but history shows us that unpleasant events occur at this time of year. I get a little rattled this time of year because I had a lot of unpleasant things happen to me during these times of the year.
Sure. And I remember doing some research and finding out that the handwriting on the wall
in Daniel
mm-hmm. was actually during the season of Teshuvah.
I'm not surprised.
How about that?
I'm not surprised at all.
took a lot of work.
Well, see, it said, you know, you've been weighed.
Yeah.
And that's God's way.
Weighed in the balance.
You weighed in the balance
because
you came up a little short. You know how you can escape that?
Hmm.
Just ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and make him Lord of your life.
And you know what else is pretty interesting? And I'm not into astrology, but I am into astronomy. And I believe that the gospel is in the stars.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
isn't it interesting that the scales are also in the constellations for this month?
For this month?
For
are you kidding?
September.
The scales like the, what's
yeah.
it in secular? It's Libra.
Teshuvah.
And that's.
Yeah.
So, yeah, God's weighing. Yeah, weighing. Hey,
exactly.
You know.
So, pretty amazing.
Hey, this is how to keep the scales even. Trust in Jesus.
Amen to
Amen.
That.
Trust in the finished work at the cross. His atoning blood. That's the sacrifice that God needed on the altar, that the Father needs. And that's what we have in heaven. His blood on the altar in heaven is why you can be cleansed totally from your sins and stand in good conscience before the Lord, or conscience, I should say, before the Lord.
Yeah.
And he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you'll have joy in your life.
Yes.
You won't have less problems. Maybe you will. Some of you will. Some
but
of
you'll
you
be happy going through
yeah.
them.
Some of you will have more problems. But you know what?
You're Amen.
You'll be happy going through them. Exactly. Because your hope won't be in what you have here on earth. Your hope will be in the eternal God, our King, our Father, our Savior. You know, this is the Lord Jesus Christ.
And if you just happen to be listening out there for the mm-hmm. very first time, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, they're just a bunch of bunk. Well, let me tell you something. If we're right, you've got a lot to lose. If it turns out that we're wrong, there's nothing to lose.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So go ahead and give it a try.
Why take a chance?
Why take a chance?
But if this is the year of his return for his bride, mm-hmm. then you can bet that this year, which is, by the way, turning out already to be full of calamities and such,
mm-hmm.
but his warnings with admonitions will increase during the Teshuvah period that precedes it. Watch and be mindful. Especially since the Palestinians' declaration for a unilateral state is to occur during Teshuvah. How coincidental could that possibly be?
I think they know.
I don't know. It's just strange. It's always around this time.
You think they are going to do that?
Well, if the enemies plan to create a Palestinian state, and I call them the enemies because they're enemies of Israel, and, you know,
and that's going to be, if that's accepted by the, what, United Nations?
Well, if they accept it, and they, according to the Palestinians, they have enough nations in the UN, the majority, that will accept it. They have to vote on it,
mm-hmm.
but they say they have enough. You can be assured that if this goes through, the very next day, fighting will break out, and the enemies will expect Israel to leave the territories immediately. No time. Israel cannot achieve that. And war will erupt big time. And again, these enemies, Palestinians and their cohorts, will think, oh, this is the greatest opportunity to destroy Israel forever. However, keep in mind, and this is important, Daniel, according to Scripture, says there will be a peace treaty signed by many, that's including Israel, that will kick off the tribulation. So perhaps, and I think even more likely, that the Palestinians will not declare it by themselves with the understanding, you know, by not doing it, they'll say, okay, we're not going to do it, but we'll have better negotiations with Israel and we'll sign a peace treaty. I know that we are threatening the Palestinians. Obama is telling them that we will veto it, so it will not go through anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they even care that much. They just want to say, well, most nations voted it in, so therefore, and then they have more ground to work with.
So they're looking for kind of a wink and a nod from the UN, something like that?
Something like that.
Interesting. So it could go either way at this point.
It could go either way. Now, if they go ahead and still declare it and war breaks out, that could be Psalm 83.
Could be.
You know, and Israel's going to win that.
Again, that one's archived.
Yeah, and then they could go into a peace treaty because Israel will be respected.
Now, the peace treaty, when we say that, right, shouldn't a little red flag go up and go, ah, that's in the book of Revelation?
Daniel.
Daniel, book of Daniel?
9.
Yeah, well, the flag should go up that we know that we're heading into the tribulation period. Right?
Well, yes, except I have to tell you that mm-hmm. in 1993, when the Oslo Accords were signed, a lot of people thought we were going into the tribulation.
Oh, okay.
A lot. But again, we have to remember that there are types that happened before the real thing.
That's right.
History repeats itself, and sometimes we have little negotiations that are just types of the big one that's still coming.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, this just gets better and better, and of course, we're in this time of Teshuvah, mostly the month of September. Listeners, we'll be doing the Shofar Ministries Hour every Sunday in September.
That's a God thing.
It is. 5:30 at 5:30, you know, tune us in, 12:20 a.m., This is so much is happening. It's Fall Feast, of course. We'll teach that in detail. And remember, all our shows are right there for you at your fingertips on our webpage, shofarministries.net. And Sheila also writes a very good newsletter. She's a good writer, I got to admit, and I would say advise any of you never to play Scrabble with her. About every 4 to 6 weeks, email her if you want this newsletter sent to you at shofarministries.net. That's her email. Or you can snail mail it if you don't have the internet. Send your address and your most helpful and most appreciated love offerings to P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021.
Yeah, then maybe we can do an every week show, not just in September.
That's right.
If people were giving.
If people were giving, I know it's hard to give. You give into God's kingdom.
These are hard times, I understand.
Yeah,
you have to tithe anyway.
You have to do it. And we'll be opening up the lines after that. We'll have a break at some point. And
You should.
You should.
Yeah, that's part of the law. But
well, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to give.
I had to clarify that before I get emailed.
We are blessed with so much in this country. God has, you know, even though we feel like we're in judgment and the economy's bad and everything, I don't know, but we don't have to face risking our lives because we have.
I know, we are very, very blessed still.
Very blessed. And still I don't know anybody that is going hungry in this country.
There are some. I guess they're pretty hungry, mm-hmm. I'm understanding. And, of course, around the world, many in Kenya, I believe, are starving. It's really sad.
Yeah, and mostly it's over politics and weird stuff, and it's not even because of the weather. So, anyway, we will be opening up those phone lines for your calls. Please limit your calls or to your questions to the topic of
that I know the best about.
Yeah, because we don't know everything.
Nope.
We are in those last days. And, you know, you don't get this stuff taught in local churches. It's very rare if you do. If you find one, let us know. We'll go
there. Yeah, I'd like to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hey, go to this church.
That's right. And give us a call. The number is 888-677-WORD. And that's 888-677-9673. And then we'd be happy to talk with you and discuss your question. So I guess we're ready to go to our halftime.
I think we might as well take our break now. Sure.
Okay, we'll take a short break. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and any and all donations are tax deductible, and they're very important to this Hebrew Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal on the website or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Any donation will put you right on the month. You'll get the monthly newsletter, and it's full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. Why not check out the webpage? All the newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. Also, DVD teachings are available, and they make a great gift. How about that? The lines will be open again when we come back. So the number is, I'll give it one more time, 888-677-WORD. Oh, I got another announcement I want to remind you. Every Sunday in September, 5:30, be here at 12:20 a.m. Be with us. Join us. This is a God thing. So much is happening. And the Fall Feast will be discussed and taught in detail. Remember, all the shows are archived. Go to the webpage. And I told you about the newsletter. I guess I'm just getting redundant now. But stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by our own Laura Fedor. Okay?
You've heard us say so many times that Sozo is the coffee that loves you back. A lot of our listeners have now discovered it's the coffee that loves your bank account, too. As more and more of our listeners find out how easy it is to be a Sozo distributor, they're finding a rich new source of income. There's a lot of coffee out there, but there's only one Sozo. And that's because there's only one coffee berry. The healthy qualities of its antioxidants are captured only with the patented coffee berry extraction process. Sozo's the only company on the planet that has this process. Coffee that's all natural, delicious, full of nutrients and coffee berry goodness. Once you become a distributor, you'll see for yourself everybody loves Sozo. Speak to an agent right now about setting up a home-based distributorship and sell the coffee that everybody's talking about, Sozo. Call Sozo at 800-778-SOZO, 800-778-7696, 800-778-7696, or online at TalkSozo.com. TalkSozo.com.
What do you look for in an online degree program? Reputation? Legacy? Christian perspective? Azusa Pacific University combines all of these. 111 years of excellence in Christian higher education is now offered completely online. Accredited online programs in management, leadership, education, and nursing. Our success is your graduation. So let us help you graduate and fulfill a goal, lead with integrity, and change the world. Complete your bachelor's degree or earn a master's from faculty who challenge and support you throughout the classes, from start to diploma. With more than 20 online programs, there's a degree for you at APU. Contact an Azusa Pacific representative today to customize your education journey and financing plan. Go to apu.edu, keyword online, and earn your degree from Azusa Pacific University. That's apu.edu, keyword online. Relevant Christian degree since 1899. Azusa Pacific University. It's time. Program not available to Tennessee residents.
Operator, give me information. Information, give me long distance. Long distance.
A good one.
That's a good one by Laura Fedor. She must have been, guessing, 15 years old when they recorded that. And right up here in Northeast Ohio, just a beautiful little town and loves the Lord. And she hasn't grown in stature. She's about the same height as she was.
No, she's little.
Last time I saw her. And this is the show for our Ministries Hour. I'm glad you hung with us. The phone lines are 888-677-WORD. And just a quick reminder, we'll be in Chesterland Friday, September 2nd, 7 p.m. And back here on the radio here at 1220 a.m., on the 4th at 5:30 p.m. So did you get all those numbers straight? And also something we should have mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are exploring these extra books of the Bible here that they're talked about in the Bible, but we don't know where they are. But you found one. It's called the Book of Enoch, and you have found some the dangerous cell phone in a radio station. You have found one of these, what did they call it? pseudocetus. I don't know. They're not part of the
pseudepigraphical.
Thank you. Yeah, and you found some very interesting things that relate to today.
I really have. And I'd like to continue to share some of those golden tidbits.
I wish you would, because it's very, very interesting.
From the writings of the Apocalyptic Book of Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just give a quick review of the last few programs. I'll try to go fast. I'm going to go fast because I want to cover all this information.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you have not yet listened to the archived programs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is easy to do. Mm-hmm. You just go to my website, hit on radio programs, and there you go.
There you go.
Okay, so Enoch, although not included in the canon of Scripture, was very popular in the first 700 years A.D.
You're saying that like you know that. But copies of these ancient Hebrew writings were also found at, in Qumran as part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, right?
Yes.
And that would at least date it before the time of Christ.
At least.
Yeah, at least, right?
John, you know... Again, that I'm very careful about the extra resources that I read. I don't read a lot, actually, because I'm always in the Bible. But I believe that these writings must enhance biblical knowledge, never superseding it.
Mm-hmm.
And as an example, Josephus, who's a great historian, has added much depth to my scriptural understanding, as well as archaeological findings, which continually confirm Scripture.
So you're saying that you shouldn't be afraid to read extracurricular things or extra biblical things, but just make sure they're not written to supersede the Bible.
That's correct, and I wouldn't overdo it.
Okay.
Your Bible comes first,
mm-hmm.
you know,
okay.
and then you read to kind of enhance it.
Yes.
But last time, we actually gave all the Scripture references where other writings were even suggested in Scripture, giving them authentication
mm-hmm.
as truth, and therefore reliable.
So they're mentioned in the Bible, so then they can
and
have...
there was at least 14.
And there's credibility right there if they're mentioned in the Bible.
That's mm-hmm. right. And then we noted also how often Enoch was referred to as well.
Yeah, and by the way, these are all listed in the month of June newsletters on our website, if you want to go back and check that out.
Yes. The compilation of the final product of the Book of Enoch is, of course, as I said, a pseudepigraphical writing.
Only you can say that.
Which means unknown writers penned the book, but they based them on the scrolls of notes that were handed down from someone else.
In this
case, Noah, who obviously had taken them on the ark. Now, these writings did indeed influence Peter, who quoted from it in his epistle, as did Jude and godly men like Barnabas and actually quite a few of other learned teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, as a teacher of prophecy, it just makes sense to at least look at these writings that influenced to some degree our first century forefathers. What is very interesting is that many of the end time concepts used by Jesus himself are very similar to terms and ideas found in the writings of Enoch. And approximately 100 comments in the New Testament find precedence in the Book of Enoch.
Interesting.
Like John the Revelator, the basic premise of Enoch's writings are the telling of his visionary experiences and conversations with angels, and he had a lot of them.
Hmm.
Although apocalyptic, they are not that difficult once you understand the style and have studied with some depth the books of Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, as I have.
I know. And isn't Enoch the one that was, God took him? He never died? Or is that
correct?
Am I right? Okay.
Yes.
And also, you mentioned that Enoch was alive while Adam and Eve were alive. They were contemporaries?
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
They were, in fact, Adam and Eve were about 600 years old when Enoch had his experiences.
600. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you think arthritis sets in right about 500?
Right.
I don't know. That's a different time, though. No.
But Enoch was not was able to write it down in ancient Hebrew. He was also able to tell it orally to his son Methuselah
mm-hmm.
before he was raptured.
Methuselah, the oldest man in the ever recorded, I guess, right?
Okay, yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Who then gave it to Noah personally, who took them on the ark?
Hmm. So Noah takes these things on the ark.
So, we also have some Jewish rabbis who read the Book of Enoch, and they say that he was the first one actually to use a written language, ancient Hebrew, although the alphabet is contributed to Seth, given, of course, by God.
Okay.
They also say he was exceedingly intelligent, Enoch was, as one might expect if you walked with God.
I know that for a fact. I know when I got saved, my IQ level went up a little. I thought quite a bit.
And then amen.
Yeah, I think it'll happen to anybody.
I'll tell you what, there's no way I ever thought I'd be doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah, I know. Ooh, I could say the same thing, but, you know, it's just something about the Holy Spirit.
And yeah.
God just kind of opens your mind to these things. And then, you know, you also said that Noah, okay, is still living, and he could talk to Abraham and Isaac, too? Did their lives overlap?
Yes.
So here you have Noah, the guy in the boat,
who survived
the first judgment, talking to Abraham and Abraham's son.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, indeed. But I guess you could say there's not much room for hearsay when there's only a few people like that.
That's right. It's not a big chance for this, for stories to go off track, you know.
That's
and
right.
You remember how amazed you were at how Enoch described the stars and galaxies so precisely, and that you were saying there was no way he could have known these specific details without God revealing it to him.
Right.
And now, because of the scientific knowledge we have now, it authenticates. That's just one more one more reason.
I knew you were going to get stuck.
Yeah,
on that.
I get stuck on those. But you know, one more reason to think that the Book of Enoch is something you should take seriously.
I would at least take it seriously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, last week I told you how Enoch. Not last week. Well, that was the last time we were on. 2 weeks ago, I told you how Enoch had a vision of the chosen ones being in the wilderness of the area we call Mount Sinai. Now, we know that's in Arabia, according to Galatians 4. But when Jesus returns to get them, and this would be the Jews, at the end of the age to set up the new kingdom, he would get them from this area.
In the wilderness.
Yeah.
And this is,
where they were before.
All right.
And doesn't that make sense? Because then that way God would have to take care of them. Totally. Remember, we talked to many.
Yeah, we
times
did talk about
Petra.
Just about how we thought they would go to Petra to escape the parts of the tribulation. The last half of the tribulation. But now we're thinking it's the same place that the prophet Elijah ran to when he was running from his enemies.
That's a good point.
He ran right down to what? Mount Sinai.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that's the same area that God took care of the Jews, the Israelites before.
Yes.
That makes total sense. And this way God gets all the glory. You know, otherwise you could say, well, that food was already there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Makes sense to me. Enoch also describes the tribulation, explaining how the final judgment on earth is with much fire. He describes earthquakes that level mountains, spewing flames, molten lava, not like the judgment of flooding that was about to happen soon after his son, Methuselah, died.
Hmm.
Now, today, I want to talk, about a controversial topic of the fallen angels of Genesis 6.
Okay, this is controversial, and I will read it from Scripture
John,
here.
Thank you.
Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God... And that's an idiom for angels, okay?
In the Old Testament, for sure.
Yeah. That's where some of the controversy is. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose.
Wow.
Now, if it's just sons of God, it's just a name for, you know, for people that are godly people, then it's like...
No, this was an idiom, and remember we've talked many times how there's
how
phrases and idioms that mean something.
That means something, and this is an important one. So this is actually people from created beings from another...
Well, they fell from heaven.
They fell from heaven.
Right.
Okay.
Followed Satan, fell from heaven. Like the, you know, the look of the women, and, you know, we weren't around, so we don't know. I guess, obviously, they were able to look like men.
And supposedly, this was a great wickedness, right?
Yeah.
And this is what led to all the wickedness?
Well, this wickedness permeated the earth then, and God would have to judge with the worldwide flood, except Noah and his family, who had not been defiled according to Genesis 6:9. Now, what does defile mean? See? That's the thing.
Well, I think it's because he was defiled. It says Noah was perfect in his generations, which says to me that when you think of generations as giving birth and marriage and so on and so forth, that there was no genetics from these fallen angels in his line.
That's right. He was not defiled.
He was not
defiled.
That's
why he was perfect.
Yeah.
Not sinless.
Not because he was sinless or
Hardly.
Anything like that. No. because he didn't carry this gene that was not supposed to be there. A satanic gene, I guess you could call it. Kind of
seed. The
seed of Satan, yeah. Oh, that's scary. Oh, okay. And then after that, I don't know.
So I know a lot of times people think that, what was the main reason for the flood?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was for this reason.
Oh, okay.
Definitely. And then, of course, because of this defilement, they were committing blatant sin.
Yes.
Blatant sin. Now, again, let me remind you that I am just telling you what Enoch wrote about. So please don't attack the messenger. This is an area that is totally up to you to decide what you can accept and what you can't. It's okay with me either way.
Right, right.
Now, Enoch writes that these fallen angels, of which he says, by the way, there was 200 of them. That's kind of neat to know. They wanted to corrupt the human race.
Yeah, and after all, they were followers of Satan. Okay,
right.
Fallen angels, right?
He writes that the angels arrived on the summit of Mount Hermon during the days of Enoch's father, Jared. And, of course, Adam was still alive as well.
Wow, and I wonder how he felt, you know, to witness this great evil being done, the seed of corruption actually taking place again.
How did Adam feel, especially after what he had been through 700 years earlier?
Oh, my gosh, this must have been okay.
Grieved, I'm sure.
Grieved, yep. And this Mount Hermon, now, you've visited Israel before. Now, what do you know about Mount Hermon?
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. I know you went, you did go there.
I visited Mount Hermon, the base, of course, and it was way up in the north where the Jordan actually begins, the Jordan River.
Okay.
And when I was in Israel, it was very interesting that the guide showed us caves in the base of Mount Hermon called the Caves of Pan. There were always areas called high places given over to false gods and evil deities. Again, Enoch makes sense and adds so many highlights now when I look back at this guide saying that it was a place of evil and many false gods, you know, were worshipped there and their spirits lived there.
That's very interesting. Mount Hermon being, I think, the tallest mountain in Hebrew.
It's pretty tall.
Which could be why
they came there. It was the first tallest mountain for them.
They say you can see most of the land of Israel from the top of, or all the land of Israel from the top of Mount Hermon. But here you have the caves of Pan, Pan being a Greek god. So here you have the legends of what we call legends or Greek mythology, where the gods came from the mountain, Mount Olympus. Maybe Mount Olympus was Mount Hermon at one.
Maybe. The Greeks had their own names for things. Who knows?
That's right. But and their religion was copied, too. Their pagan religion was copied. So it's...
I know. I don't know a lot about mythology because I was always told it was just a myth. But I think the more you read these things about these angels and that, and according to Enoch, they also cohabitated with animals.
Okay.
They made very large animals.
Well, it's funny you should say that because the god Pan was what we call this, what's called a centaur, and that was now if this is wrong and I got my high school stuff wrong, call and tell me. We didn't go over this.
But I think the
centaur was the half horse, half man. So there you have a combining of genetics, if you will. Combining of different flesh, flesh of animals with the flesh of humans.
Yeah, more reason why God would have to get rid of it, and the animals too.
Yeah, by the way, these experiments are going on today, and it's called the science of genetics, and they are doing the same thing today. History repeating itself, not as dramatic. We don't know. There might be a centaur out there, but I'd like to think not.
Well, I would like to also mention that at the flood, it was God that brought the animals on the ark, the ones he chose. Because some of them were probably defiled as well.
That's probably true. The clean and unclean thing is.
Yes, exactly. It's a lot to do with that. Now, this is really interesting. Enoch does give the names of the head angels of those 200, which I will not bore you with except for one, who is also named in the Hebrew scriptures in our Bible as Azazel.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay? So this is just so amazing to me. But Azazel was given credit for teaching these defiled men, or what we also know as Nephilim or giants, the art of war, how to make swords, knives, and even mirrors to see behind them, as well as jewelry and paints, cosmetics, that kind of thing. And just before the flood occurred, Raphael, who is a good angel, according to Enoch, is given instructions to bind Azazel and bury him deep in the desert wilderness.
What would that be? Area 51? Or would that be Tartarus? Tartarus?
Well, maybe? Peter calls it Tartarus.
Tartarus?
So, yeah. And that's an abyss.
Abyss?
Sorry.
That's a bottomless pit, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, he said to do it for 70 generations till he will be thrown into the abyss of fire.
So they're going to be in there for 70 generations.
Well, that's what Enoch said.
So that's what happened to Azazel, the chief angel.
Yeah, and the other head angels.
Wow.
They're bound right
so
now.
So how long is 70 generations?
Well, of course, again, we don't know if it's anywhere between 40 and 70, but say it's 70, we're talking almost 5,000 years. 4,900.
So this kind of fits in with the timetable
it
for this, doesn't it?
It does fit in with the 7,000 plan of God.
Yeah. Okay, that's even more reason to take notice, folks.
Amen. But here's another really cool part. Later, God told Moses, and we'll cover this again next month when we talk about the Day of Atonement. But in Leviticus 16, God told Moses that on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, they were to take two goats. One for the Lord, which they named La'adonai, means the Lord, and the other for the sins of the people. And the high priest would actually lay his hands on this other goat, called the scapegoat in English, and confess the sins of the people on this scapegoat, and then send it off into the wilderness. I think that's interesting because that's where Raphael was told to bind Azazel and bury him in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So anyway, again, the high priest would lay his hands on the scapegoat, confess the sins of the people, send it off into the wilderness. Now, the Hebrew word for scapegoat in Leviticus 16 is number 5799,
Azazel.
So in essence, they were giving back their sins to the chief of demons and pushing it out into the wilderness. So when I read the name Azazel that Enoch used as one of the leaders of the fallen angels, and Moses didn't write about this until much later, once again, adds credibility.
Well, yes, very much
so. Don't you think so?
I think
isn't that amazing that one of the goats is Azazel, which just happens to be the name of the chief, one of the
chief
leaders
angels.
In the fallen angels, Azazel,
chief
of demons?
That's
you know,
right.
The father of sins is Satan is.
I'll tell you, it boggles the mind. And
it's in our scripture.
And it's in our
and
scripture.
And that supports Enoch.
And I know some people say, well, the book of Enoch was written after all this stuff. And then, well, I think they have done the archaeology on this. And it is considered, even by archaeologists, it's one of the oldest known books on the face of the earth, I think. And doesn't your favorite historian from that period, your favorite Jewish historian, Josephus, doesn't he mention fallen angels?
Right? He actually does talk about the fallen angels.
He calls
them offspring or giants.
Okay.
And if you want to read about it, I think it's in the Antiquity section, chapter 1.
Oh, and I wanted to tell you, too, that the Nephilim, the giants, okay, do you know what Nephilim means in Hebrew? It just means fallen ones. Yeah, these are the ones that fell from heaven, or the offspring of ones that fell from heaven. That's the Nephilim.
Scary part of all that is in Genesis 6, there were Nephilim in those days, but also after that.
It does say, yeah, that's right.
So they're back.
They're back. It says before and after.
Yeah, don't know details on exactly how that, maybe it's just spirits taking over people's bodies, but we know they're back. There's demon possession today. They're causing people to do things they would never do. People hear voices. They're told to do things of evil.
Well, of course they would survive the flood. God destroyed all flesh, it says in the Bible.
Your spirits
These people
probably
are
roam.
Probably spirits, and they're able to inhabit bodies or something like that. The flood didn't affect them.
Yeah, well, I'm not an expert in all this, and
neither
I know you're not either, and we don't claim to be. I just think it's interesting to realize that evil is still here and it's getting worse and worse.
And also that this prophecy of the tribulation, time of the tribulation, and the Antichrist, which is a part like a type of the Azazel or vice versa, this is all coming to play again. And it's been predicted literally thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
Thousands.
And actually the book, The Writings of Enoch, he says right in the beginning, this is for the end times.
God says, I declare the end. at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no surprises for God in any of this, because he's known the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's one of his titles. He's the beginning and the end.
That's right, he sure is.
Aleph and Omega.
That's right. But I also want to come back to this goat thing. One of the reasons I believe Jesus will return at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur is he will fulfill that appointment by throwing the Antichrist, who is the type of the Azazel,
mm-hmm.
in the lake of fire. Right. That's what he's going to do. So I believe he will
return on a Yom Kippur, where that's traditionally done with the Azazel.
Exactly.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So if he does that on a Yom Kippur, when does that mean that he would have returned by Yom Kippur or on Yom Kippur?
I believe that's when his second coming to the earth
will be.
Yes.
It'll be on a Yom Kippur.
Right, which means if it goes back to Hebrew biblical time,
mm-hmm.
that whatever day it ends, which would be on a Yom Kippur, I believe,
mm-hmm.
then 7 years before biblical time, it would have to begin on a Yom Kippur as well.
Okay.
So that's kind of easy figuring out.
All right, so Yom Kippur is coming up this year in a month or so, and is this going to be the one?
I wish I knew the answer to that.
No, I thought you were going to tell us.
Oh, yeah, right. Harold Camping, I am not.
Well, Harold Camping, you can say what you want about him. We don't recommend you listening to him.
His heart.
But I tell you what, he got a lot of people thinking about the rapture.
Amen to that.
I saw newscasters that you know aren't Christians.
And, of course, I believe the rapture will occur at least 10 days prior to Yom Kippur.
At least 10 days.
Probably on a Rosh Hashanah, just because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, so I don't know the day or the hour. I don't even know the year.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That all fits, too.
Mm-hmm. But, again, we also know that no one knows the day or the hour is actually an idiom for the new moon.
So, okay.
Which, by the way, Rosh Hashanah is the only festival that begins on a new moon.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about that next month.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
you're going to hear all about that. Let's see, one other thing I think we didn't cover, and that was...
I just wanted to mention that as in all other apocalyptic writings, Enoch interjects what ultimately is coming, the millennial kingdom, where all will worship God, and sounds very similar to the book of Isaiah and Revelation.
Okay, now, and then, of course, more next time on September 4th. Join us, 5:30, right here.
Right.
A.M., 12:20. And we'll tell you all, we'll fill you in on all the rest of the you need to know on these fall feasts. It's very important.
That was such a quick hour.
That went by quick.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your whole life, okay, or maybe you're concerned that you might be one of those that only have a head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction, get on your knees right now.
Right now.
Yeah, just repent, particularly those individual sins which seem to be lingering in your life. Hey, God knows you do them. You know you do them. Just admit that you do them and then commit or recommit your body and soul to and spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But always, it's your choice. Choose him. So you choose him, and you'll make, and it's your decision where you want to spend eternity. Right?
Your decision.
Right.
That is so important. God does not decide. You do.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you decide, and where your soul will go. Your soul will never die. It has to go somewhere. There's only two places with God or with the bad guy. So you decide, okay? But we pray that you will make that decision tonight. Hosea 6:6 says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
You know what that means?
Yes.
Study your word. That's the only way you can get knowledge of God. He prefers that you do that above all the good deeds,
mm-hmm.
even prayer. It's his knowledge that he wants you to know him more.
And if you don't have any knowledge, but just know this, that Jesus died and was made, his blood made atonement for your sins at the cross. And you can do what we prayed that you would do before. If you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And, of course, we'll be at Chester Christian Center doing end time prophecy teaching and worship music. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306, and that's coming up September 2nd, Friday night, 7 p.m. Be there. And all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW. Please pray. You can use PayPal or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. Excuse me. And your donation will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter, and you can check out the webpage where all the newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. All right, okay. Now we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha, v'chumecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha, v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Join us next time, Sunday, September 4th at 5:30 p.m. Till then, Sha'olu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper, and not maybe.
That's right,
shall.
Not maybe, Psalm 122, verse 6. Thank you for joining us. Come next time. We'll see you in September, 5:30 on Sunday.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM.